Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wake up, Atlanta, and merry draft day.
Santa!
This is the morning Santa! Shift. I am Big Papa Squid, as I call myself now. He is the All-American former
Howdy.
Atlanta Falcon, national champion in Alabama. He was drafted at one point. Ain't nobody else right now on the radio that was actually drafted in the NFL, but this guy was. Michael, the P stands for playmaker, because that's what we'll get tonight, Johnson, and this is the Morning Shift, and we are excited to bring you the best draft coverage in Atlanta. We are the home of the Atlanta Falcons, and our coverage starts today and rolls through Saturday late afternoon, where Michael and myself will also be, but we will be live, the only sports radio station that will be live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where the Atlanta Falcons draft party will be, as Mike Conti, Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and myself will be down there from 7 to 11 for our draft coverage. Don't forget, it actually starts down there from Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 2 o'clock today, Mike, with my friends Carl Dukes and Mike Bell, Dukes and Bell. Woo! I am excited. I love draft day.
I got to give people a visual, man. Is that okay if I give people a Squidbilly visual what's going on right now? You are standing up with double air pistols screaming at the ceiling. I hope that Porkchop can't hear you because the double air pistols have just – and then you need to holster those things. Put those babies away, man.
Okay.
Save those things. Look, we got a three-hour show. Holster those things, those whopper hands.
Well, let me tell you
something. Put those things down.
I'll put the whopper hands away, but I ain't worried about Porkchop right now. She didn't care about me at one point last night. So she can hear me beller as I heard her beller.
I can hear Porkchop crying and you going, "Do you want a Super Bowl or not? This is important."
I told her this morning, I said, "I don't, you know, it's like that scene in Days of Thunder when he's like, I'm gonna make you low to the ground." And then he's like, and he looks over, he's like, "Now Cole needs you to take care of him." And then he sees the leak in the oil filter. He's like, "This is not the response I was looking for." I gave her that last night when she woke up for the bottle at about one something. She gets her bottle, we change her, and I put her down. And then she starts being fussy. And I said, "This is draft day. This is not the response I need from you today."
Yeah. It definitely, look, man, it's a big day. There's no doubt about it. And there's a lot of pressure, I think, on the people in Flowery Branch. We've talked about it all week, whether or not it's a make-or-break draft for Terry Fontenot. We got so much Terry Fontenot sound to get to today. A lot of things coming out of his press conference. Let's start with Terry Fontenot talking about, just straight up, man, we don't know just yet.
My kids have asked me that question because their teachers at school are asking them who we're drafting, and I'm like, guys, we don't know. You know, we stacking in that way, and you have to feel good about those 15. There's not all the haze never in the barn, because you want to continue, just make another call. There's never you want to gather as much information as you can. You want to continue to dig and dig and dig, but you feel good about those 15 names. But we're still going to be watching tape tonight. That's just all a part of it.
Are you shocked to hear that he's saying we're still going to be watching tape tonight? Like, when it seems like other teams are saying stuff like consensus, Hayes in the barn, I guess you have a lot more options, or I guess hurdles to get who you want at 15, but it's a little bit shocking to hear Terry Fontenot say, "Hey, man, we'll be watching film tonight."
Well, this is a team that tried to trade back into the first round last year. And so if there's a player that they have a grade on that they don't think will be there, and so therefore they kind of – I'm not saying they didn't do their due diligence, but they've fallen in love with a few players they knew would be there, right? Bijan Robinson, they thought Penix would be there, Drake London. So to me it's kind of like, hey, is – this player's fallen, and we didn't really expect this. Let's go back and double check and make sure we love him more than we love this guy. Or we got this guy. We didn't think this guy would be still be. We didn't think this guy would be at 26. Should we draft back in?
Yeah.
I just love the fact that, and I do not know the names of Terry's kids, but there's a daycare teacher saying, "Now Terry Jr., do you know who your daddy's going to draft? Because I'm going to need to know that.
Who's it going to be?"
No, I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
Cindy has got the odds from Vegas, and she's trying to put a bet in.
Yeah, man. I honestly, and I've been asked this till we're blue in the face. You and I have talked about it till we're blue in the face. If I had to tell you a position, I would lean edge. Does that count out defensive tackle? No. Does that count out linebacker? No. Safety, corner. They have needs at all the positions defensively, as well as we've talked about offensive tackles and the what? Probably three guys in your offensive tackle window that you'd take at 15, but there's guys all throughout the draft. And let's keep in mind that the Atlanta Falcons only own three picks from rounds 1 through 6. So I'll be curious to kind of see where they fall. But I want to get your thoughts on this next cut. Terry Fontenot was talking about doing something that you have had the pulse of for forever, and we've talked back and forth about what it means for best player available. Terry Fontenot, though, man, he says, "I'm open to whatever.
We're going to do what's best for this football team, whether that's a trade or whatever it is. And so we're open to whatever it is, if it's going to help the team." Those calls are really important, too, in terms of the trades, and what you want to really get a feel for going into the draft, knowing who's aggressive and who actually wants to come up, who's looking to move down. You want to get a feel for those. Now, they don't really materialize until the actual draft because it depends on what's there, but that's how those calls go. GM would say that, hey, look, if a certain player is there, we could be willing to come up. This is what we would give up. So you can go ahead and be prepared for who you expect to come up. Another thing we do is we have a chart basically on the tendencies of every general manager based off their drafts. So you can know who's more aggressive. Like, what's the rate of this GM, 70% of the time they move up, this percentage they move down. So you want to know who's actually willing to make a trade. And so it can kind of narrow your process as you're going through that. But those calls are really important. I'm 75% trade up.
Oh, come on. You and I said this all day yesterday, dude. It'd be awesome to trade back in the first round. But more than likely, when you look at Terry Fontenot and his body of work, it is trade up. And it's funny because he was talking about, and I'm envisioning this board in my head as he's talking about, we have a board about who's willing to trade up, what their tendencies are as far as the GM go. I'm like, well, I know what the board looks like on Terry. He's going to draft somebody you don't think he's going to draft. And he's more than likely going to trade down when you get to the second round. Now, does he have enough draft capital to, be able to pull off what he wants to do? Trade up when he gets to the second round. Does he have enough draft capital to do what he wants to trade up doing in the second round? I don't know this year. But that's exactly what the board says on Terry Fontenot. But are you on board with him saying, hey, man, I'm 75% trading up?
Within reason, within reason. I think people hear trade up and they think it's this massive cost. Yeah, if you want to trade up to 2 or 3, it's probably going to be a pretty decent haul. If you're trading up, let's put it this way. Peter Schrager has put out his mock based on what he's hearing from his air quote sources. He's got Walter Nolan going 11th to the Niners. If you think that you hear that and you've heard that too, and you Walter Nolan's your guy and you want to get to 10 to get ahead of San Francisco, maybe 2 twos and swap ones.
Yeah.
Not as big of a deal. Now, but if you want to get up to 2 or 3, that's a huge haul. So I'm okay with trading up. Here's what I want to say, and I'm seeing this a lot, and I did it in the past, and I've learned. If you're listening to someone that's giving you absolutes today, they're wrong.
Yeah.
If there's someone on this station If there's someone on another one, in print, on Twitter, that claims to be, you know, locked in with sources that never actually pan out, but they keep saying it anyways,
right?
They're wrong.
Yeah.
Because no one knows. No one. And you know why you don't know? Because you don't know how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
You know, you can say, well, I think it was easy to say 2 years ago that Bijan Robinson would probably be there at eight because that's how running backs go. But you don't know. No one knows. So when he said he's 75%, it means someone that they're really in love with, you know, is they think might go before. But you just don't know. I mean, nobody, yeah. there's no thing. But I like the fact that he's basically telling people he's open for business if you want to trade back.
Yeah.
That's, to me, what I hear. And he says I love the fact that they're charting other GM's tendencies.
Yeah, I do too. I love that, man. It's funny because you hear so much about these draft boards. We actually, was it last year or the year before, we got a chance to kind of, somebody took a picture, and in the background was the Falcons draft board and had different color codes, and you're like, trying to decipher what the color codes mean of like, what's this mean? What's that mean? Is this character issue? Is this, and you know, I think it was Jay Glazer that was tweeting out yesterday about some of his phone calls included a new category of does he love football, which I think is very interesting in this day and age. And he kind of pointed NIL, but it's, I love the fact that Terry Fontenot was just straight up going into this saying, hey man, we'll be looking at stuff into the last minute. We'll be looking at the database. Because there's so many names out there and there's so many different possibilities in front of you. It's not like, and I feel like, and maybe I say this every year, maybe I do, you'll have to help me, but I feel like every year we go into these scenarios where, you know, you can map out like 1 through 8. Like these guys have to have this guy. There's so many quarterbacks last year and so many quarterback needy teams last year, and a lot of those guys hit. You just didn't see the Falcons doing it right there at 8. So I feel like this year more than ever, you go into it going, who knows what's going to happen before 15?
It's harder this year because of the lack of the quarterback depth of this draft, and to me, the offensive playmaker depth, right? I mean, this is defense, defense, defense. That's why I just, as much as I'm not sold that they won't, I find it hard to believe they would take any offensive player, even a trench player. To me, though, I keep coming back, and I don't know this, and I've liked him for a while. I'm not so sure that Jahad Campbell is not the guy this team takes.
Wow.
And the reason why is because, again, we do this because it's what we are thirsty for. And that's a defensive lineman that can penetrate and get after the quarterback. But they need a playmaker at every single level. You can't complain about the linebacker play in October and get mad in April if they draft one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the same with cornerback, the same with safety, and the same all across the D-line. So I cannot rule out a guy like that.
Yeah,
I personally think that one of their favorite players on the board is Jalen Walker, but I just don't believe that anyone would allow them to get in there for anything other than just, I mean, they would be taking a town for the hall for that, to get in the top 10 for that, to me.
Yeah, it is the NFL Draft Extravaganza edition of the morning show.
Oh my God!
Merry Draft Day, Mike.
Yeah, Merry Draft Day, everybody. Merry Christmas. We're getting some new toys this morning, or this evening, I guess, from Santa Claus, man. Stick with us. We got so much NFL draft stuff to cover. We come back. One of the consensus picks for the Atlanta Falcons yesterday in a mock I saw from Daniel Jeremiah completely tumbles out of the first round. Who will join him and who jumps up to the Atlanta Falcons at 15? It's a full day of NFL draft coverage here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike Johnson, Squid Billy. Got you covered head to toe in NFL draft today, man. We've been talking about it. Merry Christmas. Everybody's going to get a new toy at some point today. Every NFL team. Hopefully, it's the one you want. Not a lump of coal. It's actually the ones that you want to hang out with. So, appreciate you hanging out with us. Nobody knows the Atlanta Falcons better than myself and Squid Billy. And we've been talking about NFL draft. And we'll continue to talk about NFL draft and Terry Fontenot and everything else from top to bottom, man. I was just talking to Dylon about Michael Penix. I still don't know, and we're going to get into Mike Green here in just a second, and James Pierce. I still don't know, Bo, that I've completely shook off. I think the way that Michael Penix was scouted and announced last year with the Kirk Cousins stuff has scarred me probably for the rest of the time in my life that I will be covering the Atlanta Falcons in terms of the draft. I used to be a guy, well, hey, man, this is the obvious pick. They're going to do this. They need this. I don't know anymore, man. As long as Terry Fontenot is the GM in Atlanta, I think it's hard to kind of pinpoint things, especially when you're in the middle of the first round. You're not at the back end, which means you didn't go to the playoffs, and you're not at the top, which means you weren't awful. Terry Fontenot's completely kind of rerouted the way I look at this thing.
Well, I like it from a standpoint that you're not reaching for players. And it's funny because fans were never really happy unless we're winning championships. I mean, the Braves won a World Series a few years ago, and the criticism I hear of the organization, some of it fair, not going to say it's not, but it's so harsh, you know, calling them and especially when they're like, this franchise isn't serious and they're a joke. And then, you know, I would go back to the Thomas Dimitroff days where it was biggest need. And we would draft the 41st player at 21 if it was the biggest need. And you go to the opposite effect, and because of it, we've built I think what could be a juggernaut at offense this year. Now we're pretty positive we have the right quarterback. And there's been Chris, a joke of an organization. Look how they draft, and that's why to me, I keep going back to. If you're stuck on an edge rusher, you have a really good chance of being disappointed tonight.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. I think it's more likely than not, but again, there's a lot of defensive needs. There is a need at offensive tackle eventually, although it's not dire, but I think if you want to get ahead of the curve, you might look at, you know, drafting an offensive tackle and the writing being on the wall with whoever else is involved in that situation. You and I, Bo, have done – I think we've been mock draft out for a while now. Obviously, it was spring break a couple of weeks ago. We haven't really mocked anything. I think everybody kind of gets to the point where there's literally like 50 mocks out there. There's like 10 on ESPN and 8 on CBS, and NFL.com's got 7 different guys mocking. It doesn't really mean a whole lot, but there is one that came out yesterday that made me turn my head. It was Daniel Jeremiah, and he does a decent job. I don't think he's the best. I don't think he's the worst. He's somewhere in the middle. There was good news involved in this, and I'll start here. He had the Atlanta Falcons taking Jalen Walker. Now, when we first got to the offseason, you and I both kind of watched Jalen Walker, Mykael Williams, Shamar Stewart, Mike Green, all the way down, and you and I both came to the conclusion that Jalen Walker was probably not going to be there at 15. I was kind of shocked to see Daniel Jeremiah include him at 15. And I got to tell you, over the last couple of weeks, the ones I have looked at, Jalen Walker has slid to 15 or lower numerous times. And it's funny because there's not really a good reason for it. It's just other needs start to crop up and Jalen Walker starts to get lost in the pack. I know there was a contingent at Georgia's Pro Day. I want to talk about some of these other pieces, but on a scale from 1 to 10, dude, I'm at like an 11 if Jalen Walker ends up here athletically in terms of what we need defensively.
If Jalen Walker fell to 15 and the Falcons didn't have to move up, I will streak through MBS at the draft party.
Dude, please,
I will
don't.
Drop
do
I will
everybody
drop,
a favor.
I will put a tube sock over one part and I will run around.
I'm now allowed to say you have a dad bod because you are with child. Yeah.
Let's not do that, Bo.
Dylan,
not do that,
Dylan,
bro.
He's alarmed right now.
Bo, I love you.
After your performance yesterday, You just need
okay.
to be quiet.
No, okay, come on. Let's not.
Are you telling me that you're more fit to streak through MBS?
No,
would rather see that.
No,
is there a reason?
No, absolutely not.
Are you going to pull the race card on me again, Dylan?
Absolutely. I'm just saying that comment a little more out of pocket than my comment. But no, I am in no shape to
streak
through MBS
either. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you, Jalen Walker. When you take away the two consensus defensive players in this draft, which is Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter, to me, Jalen Walker is the best player in the draft. He is, I think he's a Micah Parsons-esque type player. Ooh. So, yes, if you got that type of talent with that type of mentality, the way he plays at 15, you're damn right I would streak through MBS, okay? Because for whatever – for me, when you watch him play on film, for everything Mykael Williams gets credit for being, he's five times better. In fact, to me, if you go watch Texas A&M, there's Nick Skorton, and then there's and he and Jalen Walker at Georgia. They play the exact same way. Now, they play somewhat different positions with the way they're used to do it, but they play one way, hair on fire, fire breather, aggressive, the dog in them, whatever stupid football cliche you want to bring. And I see different stuff from Shamar Stewart and Mykael Williams, who some think are more talented players as far as testing would go. Mike, tell me if you think I'm wrong, but I see hesitancy from those two players. It doesn't look like they play every down with the same intensity, but Skowerton and Jalen Walker, they play with their hair on fire.
The whole Shamar Stewart, Mykael Williams thing is projection, right? You project them because you project them as edge. They didn't necessarily play edge. They played defensive end. In college, right? And that's why you see the sack numbers is some of the Shamar Stewart, Mykael Williams, both very good taking on run blocks, very good playing the four eye, getting hands on the chest of offense tackles, on down blocks, things like that. They're just not simply tasked with getting a sack on third down. That's not what they were in college. And to your point, Nick Skorton and obviously Jalen Walker, they are guys that were kind of unleashed in the roles that they were put in and were allowed to go out and play football the way that you expect them to. And they played football without hesitation.
Jalen Walker is a three-down player. He you can have him coming off the edge. You can have him in pass coverage. You know, Jalen Walker is a guy that you can do everything with and you're not upset about. Look. So here's the deal for me. I just told you I think Jahad Campbell is a phenomenal player and he could be a guy that I think they take there. Jahad Campbell is a little bit lesser version of Jalen Walker to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe he's as effective off the edge.
He hasn't played nearly as much off the edge. I think he'll be fine eventually. But it's like I said, it's all about projection. It's all about what they were asked to do. Jahad Campbell, a lot of people even calling him an edge sometimes in mock drafts, just simply not what he was at Alabama. I do want to talk real quick. We got a couple of minutes left. Mike Green was not included in Daniel Jeremiah's first round. First round, not top 15, not would he fall to the Falcons. Completely falling out of favor with Daniel Jeremiah. Now, there are a couple of off-field concerns. He's tried to get out ahead of it. I want to make you aware of, we talked to Mark Ross just a couple of days ago about Mike Green, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I like Mike Green. He's my second best edge rusher after Abdul Carter. And the stats, you see the stats and the level he played at, but it's real. He played his best game against Ohio State. So if there's any doubts, just check out how he played against them. And then he stepped it up at the Senior Bowl. But, he just shows a variety of moves, the spin, the dip. He's got some jolt in his hands, especially in the run game when he takes on tight ends. So he would be an ideal pick if he's there for the Falcons.
I tend to agree. It is funny, though, seeing Daniel Jeremiah have him. He has him tumbling out of the first round, Bo. But then he has James Pierce, a little bit higher. It's interesting to me. There's both off-field concerns for both those guys just in different realms. But your thoughts on Mike Green possibly tumbling out of the first, and would you be shocked if the Falcons – let's just say Jalen Walker's not there, because I think we both agree that would be the pick. But if Mike Green's on the table and Jalen Walker's already gone, would you be shocked to see the Falcons pass on a guy like that?
Yeah, and depending on where they go, would be interesting to me. Who are they get if Jalen Walker's not there, and they pass on Mike Green? The guy that I'm not, You know, I've seen Donovan Ezeraku and Daniel Jeremiah's got him at 17 in his. I'm not sold on Ezeraku. I think he's limited in his repertoire as far as coming off the edge. I think Mike Green's got more moves. I think Green can be like Mark Ross said, he's physical with his hands and he also has the speed. To me, Donovan Ezeraku is a spin move. That is his move. And that's the only thing he showed consistently on tape. I will tell you this. If Mike Green was to fall to the second round, that's where trade up Terry better get on his game and trade up. Because I would, because if I took a Jalen Walker and at 15 and then Mike Green was there in the second round, trade up Terry better get up there.
Yeah. Trade up Terry. I like that one, man. Look, we got you covered NFL draft-wise and will all morning long here on the Morning Shift and all day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Mike Johnson and it's Squid Billy. It's Dylon behind the glass. Look, when we come back, we're going to talk more NFL draft. Terry Fontenot yesterday, he was asked, man, has the pick been decided and does it have to be defense? We'll get that answer on the other side of the break. Stick with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Perhaps they will wait another hitter or so. Doesn't matter.
Eli White, deep to left, forget about it.
If you had that on your lottery ticket, make sure you cash that thing in today. I'm not sure any of us saw Eli White coming through as the hero yesterday, man. A scrappy game for the Braves. It's Morning Shift, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Got Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, Mo Morgan talking about NFL draft all day today. We do need to talk about the Atlanta Braves to an extent. Yeah,
Merry draft day.
It is a merry draft day. Make sure you get the stocking as well. Make sure you get the stocking. Make sure you get the stocking as well. And then open up that big boy present. Hey, were you the parents, the kind of people that wrapped everything, or were yours all set out when you got to the Christmas tree? They're just out so you could see them. The bike leaning against the wall.
Most everything was wrapped, unless it was this really ridiculous size.
Basketball goal or something.
My parents always hid one gift too. Like I love the fact that
they hid a gift.
Well, they did it a few years, and I don't think it was on purpose. And then I always expected it, so I think a couple years they did it because they knew I was expecting it. But yeah, I had a couple of gifts hid, not like the Red Ryder BB gun or whatever, or airsoft gun or whatever it was. But yeah, I had a couple of hidden presents, and it was like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
When you'd find a hidden present. I wonder what I'd like to find a hidden present this year. Like to me, that would be an extra draft pick that you don't think you were going to have that maybe.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
But,
for sure.
Yeah, dude, Eli freaking White, by the way. Real quick, Braves. Damn. Bryce Elder, you got good Bryce. If I got that one out of every 3 to 4 starts from Bryce where he was, like, you know, just kind of shut down, and then the others would give me 2 or 3, earned runs, a start or whatever, I'd be good with it. Eli White hits the 3-run homer in the 8th. Michael Harris was pretty good yesterday. Matt Olson has an 8-game hitting streak right now. I said that it was a tough day for Bryce Elder haters, and this guy hit me up and said, well, he'd given up 12 runs in his last – 12 earned runs in the last 3 starts. And I said, you're right. Chris Sale's given up 11 in his last 3 starts.
Right.
So if you're going to hate on the 5th starter, you better call out the Cy Young winner, who really hasn't been the same since way back the last maybe 2 weeks of this regular season last year. You asked me a question yesterday. Who's the one guy out of the Braves bullpen I trust and would put in any situation?
Yeah,
and
if you had to have a clean inning was the question, yes.
And I told you who?
Daisbell Hernandez.
Yesterday, in the top of the 8th, there's 2 on, 2 out. They call in Daisbell Hernandez. He gets out of that, and then he comes in the 9th in a situation where it's not a close because he was up for a save because he was up for the win because he was a pitcher of record, but he gets 3 more. So a 4-out performance from Daisbell Hernandez yesterday, proving me right.
Yeah,
I love it.
Daisbell Hernandez gets his 3rd win of the year already and lowers the ERA down to 2.38. Look, and it is what it is. It was funny because the whole talk and conversation going in yesterday was Mikolas, the starter for the Cardinals, had a +7 ERA, and so did Bryce Elder, and both those guys were locked down at certain points throughout the game. A couple of clutch hits, and I do have to give a quick shout-out to Michael Harris because I was kind of on him yesterday. He goes 3 for 4. A number of – he probably had 3 broken bats yesterday and just a couple of good at-bats for him. So nice to see him back in the leadoff role and being able to get on base and knocking in what I think was the tying run at the time before the Eli White homer. So
yeah,
good to see it, man.
Yeah, it's the Braves won 5 of 6. You know, it's funny because yesterday I mentioned that Ozzie Albies had been struggling. I suddenly saw other people mentioning it randomly later in the day. And I don't think – and Ozzie Albies is becoming, you know, our middle infield right now, not only defensively is just so-so when they used to be locked down,
yeah,
but they are brutal. You know, Ozzie Albies has a .301 on-base percentage. I don't need him hitting 40 home runs because he's not.
Yeah.
I don't need him hitting .350 because he's not. But for him to look as bad as he does in runners in scoring position opportunities and have a .300 on-base percentage, that's dreadful and it's borderline pathetic.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's been frustrating to watch that defense up the middle for sure. To your point, Braves, look, man, they get another series win. They are off today. And so on to bigger and better things for the Atlanta Braves. They're back tomorrow. I'm trying to remember who that matchup is with tomorrow. We'll get there eventually.
Diamondbacks tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, there you go. The Diamondbacks, they're coming off a series with the Tampa Bay Rays over in Phoenix. So that'll be interesting to watch that.
9:40, Chris Sale gets a start against Zach Gallen.
Boom.
Two guys that have been really good in the past. Both have ERAs over. Sale's got a 6.17 ERA. Gallen a 5.6, so there could be more fireworks.
Yeah. All right, so pivoting back to Terry Fontenot, and he obviously met with the media yesterday and is prepping, and he said he'd be watching film into last night. You know, look, man, you and I had a chance to catch up with Terry during the combine and talk to him about, you know, this entire kind of plan, this entire best player available. And then at the same time, and later on that same day, I believe, Arthur Blank comes out and goes, it'll definitely be a defense-heavy draft, you know? And he's talking about – Terry's like, yeah, you know, best player available. And Arthur's like, look, man, we need defense. It is what it is. Terry Fontenot yesterday was asked, man, you know, look, what side of the ball are we focusing on?
Look, we got to take an impact player. And what usually happens with that is you're going to have players in that category. And when it works out perfect, you have players that are in a high category that fits one of your needs. You'd expect with the depth of the draft, and okay, there's going to be defensive players. But what you can't do at any pick, if this is the category and you're reaching down here for a need and just taking a, if you say, Terry, you got to take a, this particular player right here, okay, you can take that player, but if you're dipping down here to take them and reaching, like we were talking about earlier, that's when you make mistakes. And if there's impact players at other positions, we got to make this team better. So we're not going to be afraid to take an impact player off the board and make the team better, regardless of what that pick is.
This is why I get frustrated when anybody locks in on one position with this regime. In past regimes, we could have said whatever, but this is why I'm saying, guys, if you're thinking, well, just take the best D lineman available or just take the best DB available, well, then you're completely overlooking the fact that the best player on the board at that time could be an inside linebacker that is a three-down guy with the speed you need, which is where I think Jahad Campbell falls. I just think that's also why I think that a right tackle could be in play. And, look, it could be a situation when everybody goes, well, yeah, but he's not going to play. Dude, you're not locked into Caleb McGarry next year. And I say right tackle, I mean any tackle, because he can move. That could be a left tackle that you move Jake to right.
Correct.
You're not locked into Caleb McGarry next year. You free up quite a bit of money, and you could still go get in a trade or something you need. So I'm cautioning people to do not lock in to edge rusher or D lineman in this draft in the first round.
Yeah, and it has been interesting, man, because when you look at, like, who all has gone on top 30 visits, private workouts, you know, been up to the facility, there are guys in the first round. You know, you have we've talked about Mike Green. How about Josh Connerly, the guy he went against, you know, in the Senior Bowl where he goes viral for running him over at right tackle. Josh Connerly, not a right tackle, gets run over by Mike Green. Josh Connerly's been on a visit, right? Charles Grant, the offensive tackle out of William & Mary, is probably a second, third, fourth round guy. He is a guy that's been on a visit with the Falcons. So it doesn't necessarily mean they're at 15. And then you look, and Lord knows, man, I've been high on Walter Nolan. That flame is starting to extinguish for me in terms of my hopes that Walter Nolan ends up with the Atlanta Falcons, just simply because there hasn't been a lot of smoke coming from that, right? You look at the visitors they've had, you look at the positions, you look at the possible, you know, points of availability, and they're just not that many guys that have visited that are actually interior defensive linemen. Omar Norman Lott from Tennessee, who it was reported by Ian Rappaport, had a private workout with the Atlanta Falcons. That's a guy that's probably going to be there in the fourth round, right? So you start looking at position-wise, and, you know, you're right. Q Robinson is an edge player out of Alabama, along with Jahad Campbell. Those guys have been worked out privately. So I don't know, man. To your point, if you're locking in on one position and saying, well, it's the best possible version, you don't know who that guy is, who they have the highest rated on their board. Nobody does at this point. And Terry Fontenot and company do as good a job as anybody, I feel like, of kind of keeping their draft plan secret, as they have for the last few years.
And go look at what this regime did last year in the draft with Rook and Brandon Dorlus. You know, we forget Braylon Trice is on the roster. I understand you don't know what he is, but I mean, it's not like he's not going to be here next year if he stays healthy. So that's why when we want to lock in on one thing, it's like, well, you don't know what their plan was. I have been told that their plan was really to develop guys like Rook and Dorlus and have them ready for this year. But when you look at those guys, they can play inside and out, Mike.
Yeah.
They're multifaceted players. They're you know, I think Zach Harrison falls into that too, where he can play inside and out. And so you can't just lock in on what you think. See, this is why I hate mock draft season, because we think what Daniel Jeremiah and Mel Kiper and Tony Pauline and Mark Ross and Todd McShay.
Emory Hunt. And I love Emory.
We take all these guys' mock drafts and say it's the gospel.
Yeah.
And we just don't know. You're looking at players based on what you want out of positions, what your defense needs out of positions.
Yeah.
You know, all these things. That's why – and I also go back and look at – take away edge rush last year, okay? Take away pass rusher. Just not even edge, just take away pass rusher. What was the team's biggest weakness on defense?
Well, pass coverage. You had needs at linebacker. You had a lack of athleticism at linebacker. You couldn't stop the run up the middle.
Which was linebacker fault because of the way they played it.
Exactly. I mean, you could honestly go to all three levels at a certain point and find things that were wrong with the defense. But yes, you were not very good stopping the run, which didn't land you in third and long situations actually be able to rush the passer a lot of times.
Yeah. So you would, if I told you got the best athletic linebacker available at 15.
Yeah.
Regardless of the name, would you be upset?
No, and you can't be. And that's the exact reason they go out and get a Divine Diablo, by the way, throughout this offseason. I do want to get to this Terry Fontenot cut really quick because it points to exactly what we're talking about. Yesterday, as we've talked about so many times, Terry Fontenot was asked, man, need versus availability.
You look at all that, and look, we know there are specific needs as you go into the draft, but you still have to go in there with a mindset to make the football team better. And we want to take impact players off the board, but yet you do have to, like you're saying, Led, look at the entire draft, the total picture, and assess players that you feel like you can get at different parts of the draft, and looking at kind of the strengths of the draft and determining other teams and where runs are going to happen in the draft. So it's all a part of it. We just have to take impact players off the board at the end of the day and make sure we're effective.
Impact players. And that's exactly what you're talking about, dude. You're talking about impact players. We're not talking about who somebody thinks or how they've graded Donovan Azaraku or James Pierce Jr., how much does he love football. Go get the impact player. Not the position of need, to your point. Not the best defensive lineman. Not the best edge. Whoever affects the defense in a positive light. And Lord knows, you and I have talked till we're blue in the face about the need to upgrade athleticism. And how many times over the last 2-3 years have you seen athletic quarterbacks take advantage of this defense not being able to get them on the ground? You know, the Josh Dobb games will live in infamy. Jaden Daniels on the stretch run last year made us look silly as he scrambled around. Kyler Murray's done it in the past. We have a lack of athleticism, Bo, on defense, and that's the first thing. Athleticism is the first thing that I'm hoping they address tonight.
Yeah, that's why I'm not upset with, you know, an interior linebacker. That's why I would love a Jalen Walker. That's why I said I would streak through Mercedes-Benz Stadium tonight at the draft party if Jalen Walker falls to them at 15. Now, not if they trade up, but if he falls to them at 15. Honestly, it's why Walter Nolan, because I think he's an athletic guy, and I don't disagree. I don't think Walter Nolan's going to be there. I think he is. His stock has risen so much, and I think there's teams out there that are terrified he's next Aaron Donald-type player, not Aaron Donald per se, but type. And J.D. Barron, I think is how you pronounce it. Dude, I think he's the best, not named Travis Hunter. He's probably the best cornerback in the draft.
Yeah.
I like him better than Will Johnson. And that's not a knock on Will Johnson. It's just, to me, he's a better athlete, more versatile, and I can move around and fit whatever I want with him.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of different options on the table, and we'll continue to dissect those. We do have to go to break, man. And look, the NFL draft covers wall-to-wall on 92.9 The Game today. It is the draft extravaganza here on the morning shift. We've been calling it Christmas all day, man. You're getting a new toy tonight. Make sure you stick with us. On the other side of the break, Terry, man, you trading back? Well, he was asked yesterday. I'll have the answer here on the other side of the break. It'll be 7 o'clock, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.